Welcome to the Rock Life Podcast here at the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. Today, we are going to be talking about vision. At the Rock, we just had our Vision Sunday, and we're going to talk about what vision looks like, what do we have to look forward to, and how you also can find a vision. I am here with Pastor Dan.
Hey.
Pastor Dan, it's been so long.
It's been a while.
You know, we've had some great guests, and we hope that you guys listened and paid attention and found some good stuff there. But Pastor Dan, we sure did miss you.
That's good to be back. Always
good
to be back.
You got some rest after Christmas, you and the fam. That's
great.
Yeah, we
did. We got away, took a weekend at the beach, just hung out, watched the sunset, did a puzzle, and not much else. Found a good coffee shop. And then, we came home, did some staycation stuff, cleared out garage.
Yeah.
Which is like one of those things that you don't do, but you know you need to do.
Yeah.
And when you do it, you feel like, you know, the weight of the world is off your shoulders.
Come on.
So, yeah, no, just stuff like that. But came back refreshed and ready and full of vision.
I love it. You know, I know that I saw some debate online, East Coast beaches versus West Coast beaches.
West, every day.
Now, I'm like, the thing is, East Coast, you can't go to the beach at Christmas and be like, yeah, this was pleasant. Like, it's freezing. Whereas our beaches are.
Here's the deal, though. East Coast versus West Coast. Now, if we're including the Pacific Northwest, we've got a different story,
right? That's
true.
That's
now, true. I would still go west.
SoCal beaches,
I would still go west because the beauty.
Yes, that's true.
On the Oregon coast and the Washington coast, and even the Northern California coast is stunning.
Oh, yeah.
There's nothing like Highway 1 and all that. But, yes, SoCal beaches, I know unless you're in Florida or Southern California.
Yeah.
You're not going to the beach on Christmas.
Well, I heard a funny, and I don't. Rabbit trail already, but I heard a funny thing about Californians, right? We're like, as Southern Californians, we're SoCal.
Yes.
And it's kind of NorCal and SoCal. It's like they're family, so you don't talk. Like only I can talk about them, right?
That's
as
right,
SoCal,
yeah.
Like
you talk about
we know we're the best,
I'll talk about them, but
like non-Californians,
you don't play.
Like we're gonna defend NorCal, or if you're in North, you're gonna defend SoCal. But within ourselves, we think we're better.
Oh right? Yeah, absolutely, 100%. But we are better.
It's like, as Southern Californians, like all day over NorCal.
Right.
But don't you say anything?
Yeah, I can say that. You can't say that. Yeah.
But anyways, like you said, full of vision, Pastor Dan. We had an amazing time talking about Vision Sunday. And this year, drum roll, what is it that is Vision Sunday?
So this year, Vision Sunday, if you're listening to this and you're not a part of the Rock Church, not a part of the culture here and haven't been around for a while, what we started to do, you know, Pastor Jim, he would just, whenever it flew out of his mouth, that was Vision Weekend.
Right.
You know, it wasn't like he would plan it or anything like that. He would just say this. I mean, I remember when you've been establishing this year of holiness, you know, it was just like, okay. But, you know, obviously I'm not prophetic. I'm not a prophet nor the son of a prophet. I was the son-in-law. he had his way. And so God speaks to me in different ways. And so about October, I start to pray and I start to just ask the Lord, what is it that you want to do next year? And what do you want to see? And what should be our focus? And so we'd usually have a word or a phrase or a scripture or something that we focus on for the year that frames our efforts and as well where we're going to build up or where we're going to, you know, adapt or do something in that area. You know, we've had years where we focused on love, years where we focused last year was on grace, you know, shouts of grace. And so this year, as I was praying, I really felt like 2025 is going to be your strength.
Yeah.
Not strong, because, you know, strong is one thing. Strength is another thing, as I studied out in the Bible.
Yeah.
And God was very specific with me. And so strength being that, you know, that muscle that we lean on God, that we have an inherent strength that we're able to lift by the power of God. You know, and so Ephesians 6:10 is the scripture that we're going off of. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, his strength, if you will, his muscle. And so that frames what we look at this year. It frames, you know, when we're looking at outreach, it frames when we're looking at our teaching, you know. Everything is for building up that strength and for that end. What we're going to do financially, you know, what we're going to invest in. We need to be strong. We need to have that strength. You know, and not rely on ourselves, but relying on the strength of the Lord and all those things. And so that it gives us a focus. It gives us a direction as a church. It gives us some goals. And then at the end of the year, we can actually take a look at, okay, how did that play out?
Yeah.
What did that look like? And those are the things that we can celebrate at the end of the year and say, look what God did in his strength and look what we were able to do in his strength.
Yeah.
Right.
I love that because it doesn't put the focus on us.
Right.
Trying to be strong. Because, you know, like, you know, you can get strong and you put in our efforts. I think of the scripture that when we are weak, that's when he's strong.
Yes.
Or his strength is made perfect
in our weakness.
In our weakness. Yeah. And so it takes the onus off of me other than leaning into him. Right. The only onus I have is to submit to him, mm-hmm. is to lean into him. And there I will find a life of strength. And so I love that as a vision, like you said, as an associate pastor who gets to oversee ministries. I love getting to take that vision and I'll say, what does that look like within the ministries that I get to serve?
Right.
And how do we incorporate this thought, this frame of mind into what we're doing, the efforts that we make, for example, in young adults or in our small groups. And so I love that, Pastor Dan, and I'm excited to see the strength that we will find in him this year.
Yeah, for sure.
So again, for our listeners, though,
yeah.
If you're a part of this church, I mean, you're excited because I think when you're submitted to a house, the house vision becomes our vision.
Absolutely.
Right? A word over the house is a word over me.
Right.
And so in that same way, but like all things, I remember there was that one, I don't know if that was the vision for the year, but the premise of build God's house and he'll take care of ours.
Yeah, his house.
It's that same
house,
owner, that same ownership. And so what does vision look like in our life? So, Pastor Dan, for people who are submitted in this house, I think they can run with this idea of strength.
Yeah.
But what would be like some tools that someone can take and say, all right, I want to put that into my individual life, my family life, my corporate life, my social life, and really run with this? How do they find a vision of their own?
Yeah, you know, I think the best way to do that is just get with God and get the God vision. You know, I've often told our church, I don't have vision for myself. What I've got to deliver is God's vision.
Yes.
And, you know, we can dream, we can imagine, we can, you know, set goals and all those things. And I think those are all important things for us to do and all things that we should do within the vision that God gives us, right? That we can dream about those things and that we can set goals to that end. Mm-hmm. But if I'm coming up with the vision and God's not coming up with the vision, I've got a problem.
Yeah.
Because then I did it in my own strength or in my own wisdom.
Yeah.
And that's not to say that it's not, you know, something that God would desire for us to look for things or to aspire to something. Yet, it's more important that I get vision from God than it is that I get vision for myself.
Yeah.
God's vision for my life is ultimately far greater than anything that I could put together.
Yeah.
Right? I never dreamt I would do what I'm doing today. I thought I'd be in music. I thought I'd be playing rock and roll, honestly, you know, and if anything, leading worship. And then maybe in the future, you know, I always thought, well, from the platform of what my fame and my, you know, influence there, then I'll be a pastor and use that for the kingdom, you know. And that was easy to do, seeing Pastor Jim being a baseball player and, you know, his background in business and all that kind of stuff. And then to see him weave that into his sermons and things. And this, so, you know, coming up under that, my early years thinking, okay, but then God had a different path and a different plan. And so I've always just tried to follow God in what he wanted. And with that, God has given me vision for what's ahead, you know. Yeah. And so, you know, I know my calling. I know where God spoke to me. I know what God spoke to me, those sorts of things. And so that vision has always been something that I've relied on God for. And that's where if somebody's looking at this saying, okay, even if they're a part of this house, strength, all right? So what does that mean for me? That's where I encourage people, you know, and I said this during the message too, get alone with God. Get some time, you know, have some time that you've set aside that there's no TV, there's no phone, there's no iPad, there's no tablet or anything like that, to where you're sitting down, you and God, and you say, God, I want to see a picture of my future. I want to have your vision for my life. What is it that you want from me? Now, God may not give you the whole picture.
Mm-hmm.
He might give you the path, right? Yeah. Here's the vision for right now is to take this next step, you know, whatever that looks like. There will come a day that you'll see the summit.
Right.
Right?
Right.
But for now, here's the vision. God may give you a huge picture. And the hard part about that is, okay, so then God, what is the step that I take to get to that, you know? Many times God has valleys for us to go through before we get to the peaks.
Yeah.
But in either one of those scenarios, it's not your vision, it's the God vision, right? It's not your dream, it's the God dream.
Yes.
You know, Joseph had a God dream.
Yeah.
Joseph got the whole picture. His family bowing down to him. He was the leader. He was the ruler. Even the wheat
yeah.
which was significant, you know, the sun and the moon and the stars. He had a great vision, great dream, and shared it with others and was despised for it, not realizing that to get to that picture
yeah.
that he had in his dream, that there was a whole lot of pitfalls, right? His brothers were literally going to cast him into a pit. he would go to Potiphar's house in slavery. Yeah. He would go to the prison, and eventually he would go to the palace mm-hmm. and see that dream fulfilled when his brothers came and bowed down before him. So, you know, God will give you those big picture things, but sometimes God doesn't give you the big picture. Sometimes just God gives you the next step. You know, in the Psalms, it says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Many times I've found that God only will give you, here's what's right ahead of you.
Yeah.
And it's an amazing thing to think about that, because sometimes people get frustrated with God. What do you want from my life? You know, and they're thinking that big picture. They're thinking the sun yeah. and the moon and the stars.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas God is saying, hey, focus on your feet right now.
Yeah.
Here's this next step. That's the next one I want you to take. Next thing I want you to do might be Bible college, might be join a group, you know, might be more church consistency or, you know, something practical, doing an outreach or something like that, or ministering to your family.
Mm-hmm.
There may be things that in the greater vision, God might be calling you to be an evangelist, and that yeah. might be that peak that yeah. he has for you, but it starts by telling your neighbors about Jesus,
mm-hmm.
right? And so God will show you, hey, here's a vision of you sharing Jesus with someone else. It's funny because as I'm talking, I'm thinking about a guy, his name was Willie. He was a part of what was called the power team, came and ministered at this church. And he shared that a lot of times when he would go and minister to people, he would see just like a video playback in his mind
yeah.
of him talking to somebody or him praying for somebody, and then he would go and do what he saw.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And that was his personal driving vision was right. that I just got a little picture of me ministering to that guy. You know? They were over there sitting in a truck, and I just had a video play in my head of me walking over and saying, hey, can I pray for you? And then I prayed for them. And yeah. then he'd tell the rest of the story, and it was like crazy stuff would happen. You know, it was just awesome.
Right. Yeah, I was stepping out in obedience.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, sure. yeah. And then he'd bend like a frying pan.
Yeah.
You know, so it was cool. If you don't know what the power team
here.
Is.
Yeah, we did have him here.
Yeah, man. Power team was awesome. Yeah, man, that's breaking cool. through ice
oh,
and all
yeah.
that kind of stuff.
Ripping phone books.
Oh,
and
yeah. Now, what's funny is, again, a little rabbit trail here.
Yeah.
Shane Parker, our graphic designer,
yeah.
I remember he learned that it's more about like
yes.
putting stuff together. So he's like ripping phone books
yeah,
and stuff. Like, look what I can
trick,
do.
Yeah. No, that was that, you know, again, being a kid in the 90s, a Christian kid in the 90s
Christian
is the
kid
bad,
in the 90s,
you know.
Yeah. But I mean, he had that personal driving
yeah.
vision that any of us can have. If
yeah.
we ask God and if we seek God, God will give us those things. You know, just like I said, about October, I start praying.
Yeah.
And God gives me
yep.
vision for the next year. I didn't come up with that. I didn't drum it up. And God will reaffirm that out of the mouth of two or three witnesses. I'll talk to Pastor Jessica. I
yeah.
talk to our pastoral team
right.
beforehand. Hey, does this witness with your spirit? What does this look like? And then by the time we hit, quote unquote, Vision Sunday,
mm-hmm.
the Lord has unpacked a lot of stuff already.
Right.
Why? Because we sought him. And I think that's where individuals, if you're out there and you're saying, man, I need a vision. I want a vision. Then get with God. Start
mm-hmm.
to pray. Allow God to minister to you. It's going to be a process of time. It may come all at once. It may come over time.
Yeah.
You might have to get this scripture and then get with this mentor that speaks into your life that calls things out in you. And wow, that confirms what I saw in the scripture. And then, you know, those things
yeah.
where God gives you that vision to set goals,
yeah.
to have practical steps, to fulfill that vision with what God would have you to do. And ultimately, you're not doing the heavy lifting.
Yeah.
It's God doing the heavy lifting.
Well, I love that because, I mean, you even laid out your personal process, Pastor Dan, because I could see many people could be intimidated by, well, I'm not a visionary, or I don't do vision boards, or, you know, again, there's the idea of what we think vision might be. But you broke that down into even leaning into, well, I know I'm not like Pastor Jim, or I'm
right.
not that. I don't walk around in this just, but you identified for yourself what a process is. Now imagine now thinking of a vision versus 9-10 years ago.
Yeah.
You've honed the process and it probably drops in simpler and you know how to, okay, take this. And you laid out the steps for us from
yeah.
getting in God's presence,
yeah.
getting isolated, being isolated from all these other distractions. And then now you hear God's voice more clearly. Why is it important that we have a vision?
It's important because if you're not giving God something to work with,
that's good.
Then you know we're expecting God just to do stuff without our involvement, and God
yeah.
has always wanted to partner with us.
So we can't just say, Yeah.
Well, because there's other factors to play. The devil's working hard.
Come on.
Your flesh is working against you.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, God and his angels are working for you.
Yeah.
But which one are we going to work with?
Right.
Right? The Apostle Paul, I love the fact he said, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And he says, but I labored more abundantly than they all did. Speaking of the other apostles, Peter,
right,
James,
right,
John, right?
Right?
All the other apostles. He says, I worked harder than everybody else. And he says, yet not I.
Yep.
But the grace of God that was in me.
Yep.
So we do have a part to play in this. We need to work together with the grace that God gives us.
Yeah.
So if God gives us a vision, you know, Paul had a vision. God said, I'm sending you to the Gentiles.
Right.
He had a word from God. He spent time with God. 14 years in the desert. Got caught up into the third heaven. I mean, this guy had revelation. And yet, with that, he didn't say, okay, God wants to meet me to be the minister to the Gentiles.
Yeah.
All right, cool. God, I'll just wait for the plane tickets to show up in my mailbox. No, he sought. If you read the language in Acts, Luke was a part of the company. He said, we tried to go here. We tried to do this. We tried to do that.
Yeah.
You know, and finally, God gave him a vision of a Macedonian man. Come over here.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But they weren't just sitting around.
Yeah, that's good.
They were working at it. That's why it's important for us to have that vision, is because it gives us that goal. It gives us something. And then to put it in front of ourselves, to remind ourselves of what it is that God wants for us. And that's where you mentioned vision boards. It's funny, a couple of different things come to mind. Our finance manager, Adam, great guy, man of faith.
Yeah.
When we were interviewing him, he was talking about how he would take money and put it in envelopes, and he would name the envelope. This is for... you know, this is for that, things that he believed in God for, and he would name his seed, in other words.
Yeah.
And I know sometimes people, prosperity and blah, blah, blah. Okay, that aside,
right,
what's he doing? He's keeping a vision in front of him.
Right.
And he was able to achieve goals because he not only said, okay, God, that's what you want. Well, the money cometh, and I just wait until the money drops out of the sky from an angel.
Yeah.
No. He put money aside. He saved towards it, and he had it, the vision, in front of him. This is for this thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you walk into his office today, he's got a big blackboard across from his desk that when he looks up at, there is a list of things.
Yep.
And it's things that we wanted to do around the church.
Right.
So anytime there's a new need around the church, he'll put it on. The roof is on there right now. $2.2 million for a roof, right?
Yeah.
That's up on his board. And every time he looks at it, he calls in the provision for it. But then he's got his computers and all that, and we're saving money and we're being wise stewards. But what's great is that over the years that I've worked with Adam, and that he's had that board on his wall, there's check marks next to the things that we've received.
Yep.
And so the vision is even greater, because now it's like, hey, look at all the stuff God's done
that
we believed him for over the years.
Yep.
And then when you see the list of stuff that's yet to do, it's like, well, hey, if God did that, then he can do this. What is that vision?
Yep.
Right?
Yeah.
It's going to happen. 1 year, Pastor Jess and I, had just moved back from Bible college, and we had a lot of needs in the house. Stupid things. We needed a new iron to iron our clothes, you know?
Yeah.
And so we were like, oh man, we got to buy an iron. We got to, you know? And so we were kind of like worried and concerned. And I remember we got together and we prayed and we said, Lord, here's our need. Here's what we are believing you for this year. And she got the idea, hey, let's make a list in a journal and put down all the stuff in a list, and let's pray over it, you know? And so we said, okay, iron, you know, all the other stuff that was in there. At the end of that year, we went back to that journal, and again, we had checked off literally every item on that list. And at the beginning of the year, we thought it was impossible, right?
Yeah.
But what do we have? We had a vision, and we had something for God to work with, and that we went to work on too, so that when the provision came in, hey, they're selling irons down at Costco, let's get one.
Yeah.
You know, they're only $40,
yeah,
which to us, that was all the money in the world at the time, but we had it.
Yep.
And so it was like, hey, let's go get it, you know? So we keep the vision in front of us. You know, the biblical story is Jacob, who is getting ready to leave his uncle.
Mm-hmm.
And his uncle's changed his wages 10 times. He's deceived him. He's worked longer than he needed to work. And, you know, he's just totally frustrated. And finally he says, hey, if you give me my pay will be that out of the flocks, I'll give you all the pure flocks that are just one color, but I'll take all the spotted, speckled, and striped. And so what did Jacob do? He took sticks and he peeled them with stripes and put specks and that sort of thing. And then he put that in front of the sheep at the watering troughs where the sheep would reproduce.
Right.
Now, there's nothing mystical about sticks in front of sheep. That's not going to produce a spotted or striped sheep. What was Jacob doing? He's putting vision in front of himself.
Right.
Right? And he was believing God, and so he kept that vision in front of him. And when they would reproduce, they would reproduce spotted and speckled. Right. Obviously, God was doing something in that moment to where Jacob had all of the flocks.
Right.
And Laban was like, you cheated me.
Yeah,
and he's like, nah. You know?
Right. And then he's like, well, do it the other way. It'll work the other way.
Yeah. But what was happening was he was keeping vision in front of himself and obviously the sheep.
Right.
And I think for ourselves, whatever it is that we get from God, we have to keep that in front of us.
Well, let's dive into that situation a little bit more. Right. So there was the vision in front. So when you're focused again, so there's reneging that goes on. Mm-hmm. Things will happen in our life where we thought it was one thing. This was the vision. Things are going to unfold this way. Something happens, circumstance happens, changes the situation, but because there was still vision, so again, here goes Laban changing up the deal, and then now, well, okay, we'll work the other way. He still had the vision in front
still
of him.
Still had the vision.
And he was able to, it didn't, in other words, the change in circumstance, the bad situation that happened, didn't keep him from prospering.
Right.
Or getting the better end of the deal because I had the vision in front of me. This was the laid out thing.
Absolutely.
And I think for us, when we have a vision, because if you didn't have a vision, then you're just going with the ups and downs in the circumstance. And
wherever
guess
the
what?
Lazy river of life takes
throws
you.
Crap at us.
Yeah, yeah. There's turns. There's pitfalls.
Crap at us, right? Like, and so, but if we had a vision, if we keep, so we know this is going to be a year of strength. So then when something happens that would make us or put us in a position of maybe weakness, I know, wait, this is a year of strength.
Right.
I'm not going to take this moment of weakness and let it throw me off. Actually, I'm going to lean into my weakness, and that's where I'm going to find strength.
Yes.
Because that's what the word says. Which makes me think about, like you're saying, Pastor, and I love it because I know what I've found is that when I have a vision, it's like, and you own it, right? Mm-hmm. It's in your spirit deposits. This is my vision. I'm going to hone in on this. Just throughout the year, throughout times, and getting in scripture, you find like, oh, wait, you find this verse and it just seems to resonate or confirm that thing. And then now I have even more oomph. I have promise behind what I'm already even feeling.
Right.
Right. So I have. So now I bet you you said people have sent you different scriptures with this idea of strength. Right. Because it's like you see it gets highlighted. And what the scripture and what these promises do for us, it just solidifies and gives resolve to our vision.
Yeah. Well, the moment we started to talk about the pastoral table, I started getting emails from you guys, you know, saying, hey, I found this, and this is what I think about it, and, you know, a lot of stuff going on. And I almost said it this weekend, but, you know, preaching on strength, there's literally hundreds of verses, hundreds throughout the Bible that deal with strength. And many that are great. I mean, if you talk to Chaplain Doug Duke, his verse is on the back of his car, Nehemiah, the joy of the Lord is your strength, right?
Yep.
There's aspects of strength that we have not dived into. And my hope is that throughout the year we can preach those messages and that we can continue to unpack what that looks like. Even preaching the Wednesday night this week, I was able to bring, you know, talking about Jephthah was a mighty.
Yeah.
He was strength, right? Yeah. And yet his mom was a prostitute.
Yep.
And so what does that look like when our past is affecting our present and those types of things? How do we keep strength and vision in front of us when we've got something that brings us down in our past, you know? And so we talked about moving forward in the future. So my hope is that, you know, all of us, as we have opportunity, that we're able to bring those aspects throughout the year and keep that vision in front of us, you know, just like those sticks, right? Here's another part of the word that will support us and show us the vision and produce the things that God wants to produce in us, his strength, right?
Yep.
And I think personally for those of you that are listening online or watching online, that, you know, whatever your personal driving vision is, whether you're part of this house and it's strength for this year or whether you have something that you're going, you know, I'm looking forward to developing. God gave me a vision of developing a business. Well, what is that business? What does it look like? What are your needs, right? Do you have that? Hey, I need a truck, I need a location, I need a secretary or whatever that is, right? Do you have those things in front of you and are you reinforcing those things? And then when you're going through the scriptures as you find them, are you putting those next to the name? You know, all right, I need a truck. And then, you know, you found out from the scriptures, there's something talking about God moving something. Yeah. And, oh, yeah, there it is, you know. And
absolutely.
Bang, that's my vision, right? Yeah. And now you've got a scripture that you're standing on.
Yeah.
You know, those things reinforce the personal vision that you have from God
that
you're believing God for. And then you're praying over them. You're calling them out. You're reminding yourself. You're talking about them.
Yeah.
It just gives God something to work with. And then in the natural, stewarding what God gives you in order to get to that point. Are you saving for the truck? You know?
Absolutely. I get really excited for the vision, Pastor Dan, because like I said, this is my church. And I'm as a member of this house, I'm submitted under this house. This is a covering in my life. So, you know, at this time where we do the fast at the beginning of the year. So I'm praying, I'm fasting, I'm doing what, you know, what we talked about, what you taught about this weekend, getting alone with God and believing and asking myself how I can get strong. So I'm trying to get this vision, or I'm trying to get vision for my life.
Yeah.
And the umbrella for the vision for me and my family is going to be the vision of this house, because as submitted to this house. So now it just adds wind into the sail of a personal vision.
Right. And within that vision for the house, you're going to have an individual one for your family.
Exactly.
That you say, hey, what does strength look like for me? Mm-hmm. What does strength look like for Angelina? Exactly. What does strength look like for our children?
Yeah.
You know, and the different seasons that they're in.
Yeah.
And how do we develop that? And I think that's exciting to me.
Yeah.
Especially as a pastor, because your heart is for the people.
Mm-hmm.
You want to see people win. And so, you know, as our members are looking at what that looks like for themselves, you know, get with God. What does it look like for your life? What do you view that is the God dream that he wants to do in you this year? And personally, individually, as well as corporately, is there a way that you can add to the strength of this house? Mm-hmm. You know, I didn't say this, but, you know, the very famous quote from The Jungle Book. Is the strength of the wolf is in the pack, and the strength of the pack is in the wolf, right? That together we're better than we are apart.
Yeah. Well, and that's the encouragement to all of us is, you know, maybe someone, I don't know where to start. We'll start with the vision of the house, especially if you're part of this house. Start with the vision, like, oh, strength. Okay, strength. And then now you can ask yourself the same question we're asking. What does strength look like in my life?
Mm-hmm.
How does it look like within my family? Whatever context you find yourself in your profession or whatever you're going after, borrow that, you know, again, that's you're not stealing anything. It's like you're part of the house, and I love it, and we get to own that. And so it's a great start. Again, that's the bouncing point for the vision for my family this year is strength. And it's cool for me. I get a little bit of insight because, you know, as you start to share with us sooner, it starts to, you know, it stews up a little bit,
bubbles sooner, up. So
but, you know, I love that, Pastor Dan, and I know the exciting part as being in the local church is that family part. And we're all, and I know it becomes kind of the slogan for all of us throughout the year when it was the year of grace and this grace or whatever it might be, double, or, you know, like these are things that we all get to own. And so that's what vision can do. Vision is contagious. Vision paints a picture out in front of us that we can all do. And so I think the encouragement for all of us is that, hey, we can all have it. We can all own it and jump in front of it. Any other thoughts, Pastor Dan, on what vision can be?
You know, if you're a person that maybe you don't have a lot of vision, that sort of thing, don't get discouraged. You know, myself personally, I'm not one of those visionary types that's just always dreaming up something new and that sort of a thing. I'm probably the biggest follower there is. And that's why God said, well, you can pass the church because you're following me, you know. So, And that's where I tell people, follow me as I follow Christ.
Yeah.
You know, don't put the pressure on yourself to have a vision board or a 5-year plan or any of those things. Roll that care off of yourself into God. That's allow good. Him to give you the vision.
So
and it may come seasonally. It may come unseasonally.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you're not looking for it and God decides, bang, here's a picture for you. You know, whenever God brings that to you, man, go after it with all your heart. And if you don't have that for yourself personally, join corporately with us and say, hey, you know what? This year's going to be your strength for me. What does that look like? Well, I'm going to allow God to lift those heavy burdens. I'm going to get the knowledge, right? That we talked about the message, and I'm going to get going on what I know to do from God's word. That will produce that in you know? But then pray and ask God. Say, God, would you give me a personal driving vision, something that I can look for, something that individually and personally, God, that you desire for my life? He may show you the pinnacles of what that life looks like, whether it's owning a business, whether it's being in ministry, whether it's building a family, it might be building community or whatever that is. Or he may just give you that next step. Mm-hmm. Be content with wherever God opens up that view to. He might pull the curtain back just a little, or he might throw the shades off, you know? Either way, man, be excited that God gave you something to move forward with. And go after that with all your heart. Do what you know to do, and then allow the grace of God to come in and do what only he can do.
Amen. I love it, Pastor. Along the way, let's make a note to ourselves on the podcast, Pastor, and let's check in. Let's update about the vision, what it looks like. And we'd love to hear from you. Your comments, your likes, your shares, subscribe. What's your vision? Tell us. We love you guys. Talk to you soon. Rock Live Podcast, checking out.